So, I understand we have yet another fantastic guest on the show today.
Absolutely, and I think they're lining up already to talk to you, Nan. And we have with us today Nan Green. Let's welcome again to Condo Crazy and HOA's Nan Green, an election monitor that's routinely appointed by the Florida Condominium Ombudsman's Office to oversee condominium elections. Welcome to the show, Nan.
Thank you, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. For those of you who actually want to take a peek at the Florida statute that we're going to be spending some time about today and are playing along at home, take a look at the Florida statute 718.5012. Again, 718.5012. That's the statute that actually creates the Office of the Condominium Ombudsman and spells out the powers that the Ombudsman's Office actually has. And again, it's no secret that this year, you know, this time of year, people that live in a condominium association, you know, perhaps they simply don't trust the election process that takes place in their condo. And I guess that's where you come in, Nan.
That's right, Eric. The statute says the 15% of the total voting interest in a condominium association or six unit owners, whichever is greater, may petition the ombudsman's office to appoint an election monitor to attend the actual meeting of the unit owners and conduct the election of directors.
All right. So you get 15% of the people to get together, sign this petition, and your office automatically, statute kicks you in there and you get to decide what goes on at that election. But, you know, needless to say, appointees, at least this time of year, appointees from the Condominium Ombudsman's Office must be attending elections all over the state. This is a statewide thing that you guys are allowed to do, obviously.
Yes, and it is a really crazy busy time. Since Florida, for the most part, is a snowbird state, a majority of the annual elections for the Board of Directors are held during the season.
Yeah, and we are definitely in season, I guess. Now, how does it start out? You know, how do the unit owners actually go about preparing a petition to have the Ombudsman's Office get involved? Is it something like a form that they go to the DBPR's website or the Condominium Ombudsman's website and print and, you know, just pass it around the condo? How does it start?
Well, generally, an individual called the petitioner will get in touch with either the DBPR, the Ombudsman's Office, and ask for help. But they can go online, and the form can be found on the Internet. And any unit owner, really, who's interested in having the Ombudsman's Office come in and oversee the election can go online and download the form. That unit owner, the petitioner, typically goes around the condominium requesting signatures from at least 15% of the unit owners. Once a petitioner has at least 15% of the unit owner's signature, he or she will send the petition to the ombudsman's office for review. Once the petition's validated by the ombudsman's office, an election monitor will be appointed to conduct the election for that particular condominium.
Okay, so not too difficult for the unit owner actually to print up the form and get 15% of the people involved. But, you know, let's, I guess, state what the obvious is for a moment. If there was never a claim that election fraud occurs in Florida condominiums, I guess there would never have been a need for the statute to begin with. But with all of your experience in monitoring condominium elections at this point, do you believe that there are, in fact, and you have found, you know, clear evidence of fraud in condo elections that definitely warrant sometimes an independent third party to come in and administer the election?
Absolutely.
Give us kind of examples where you've witnessed fraud in the past, you know, in some condo elections.
Well, a great number of unit owners complain that the building's management never, ever sent them the election package. I've also seen a number of envelopes that have been tampered with, but however, really, the most popular form of voting fraud that I've seen is probably double voting.
Double voting. Can you imagine? It's better than having dead people vote, that I guess.
I have that, too.
You have that? I don't doubt it in Florida. But, you know, I can tell you, for one, I've actually been involved. You mentioned the case where the management company didn't send out the voting materials. I was involved in a case a couple of years back in Hialeah, and I actually tried this case in arbitration. We had a full-day trial. And we actually proved on behalf of some owners who were vocal against the board that the management company did, in fact, deliberately help throw the election by purposely failing to mail ballots to the people that were opposed to the current board and were running against them. And I got to tell you, this decision is really amazing because there's an express finding of that in the opinion by the arbitrator. So, yes, I can tell you, you know, voter fraud, ballot tampering, certainly it's few and far between, but yes, it's real, and yes, it actually does happen sometimes. Again, this is Florida. We're kind of famous for that, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, give me a couple of reasons why an election would be held invalid if your office were to be involved.
Failure to follow the procedure for giving the first notice on the date of the election shall require the association to conduct a new election.
All right, so they failed to give that 60-day notice. That could invalidate the
election.
Okay.
The failure of an association to mail or transmit or personally deliver a copy in a timely fashion of the information sheet of each eligible candidate, that also will invalidate an election.
Okay, gotcha. It's two reasons. Anything else?
Failure of the written ballot to indicate the names of each eligible person shall require the association to mail or transmit or deliver an amended second notice, which shall explain the need for the amended notice to include a revised ballot with the names of all the eligible persons.
Right, and I know that ballot has to be in alphabetical order as well. You don't just put the ones you want to win up top and kind of segregate the ones you want to lose at the bottom down there, right? Alphabetical order is a must.
Yes, but I do see a lot of ballots that are not in alphabetical order,
yeah,
actually.
Kind of put together by group even, perhaps. I've seen that before, too. But, again, the statute's pretty clear. A representative of the Florida Condominiums Office can attend the annual meeting and conduct the election. That's actually what the statute says. But how about if the 15% of the owners that signed that petition, they want your office to actually get involved a little earlier in the process? For example, they want you guys to, let's say, actually have the ballots mailed back to you instead of the association or the management company. Is that something your office also does?
I used to maintain a post office box for exactly that situation, but I have to tell you, in recent years, not one association or petitioner has requested that the ballots be sent directly to me.
Okay. I guess, in all candor, I don't know if the statute would allow that at this point anyway. The statute says you're allowed to go to actually attend the actual meeting. And I guess the responsibilities may kick in at that point. But let me be honest about something. This law was passed a couple of years ago, and even more than a couple of years ago, I guess, at this point. And I believe that at that time, I was probably already conducting annual meetings for about 15 years at that point. And here's this new law that comes in, and it really, as an attorney, it took away my ability on the night of that annual meeting to conduct the election. And I'll tell you, if I'm being honest, I was kind of upset by it at first. Now, I'm wondering two things. Do you ever get resistance from boards, management companies, or even their attorneys that simply won't cooperate with the ombudsman's office, even though they were presented with proof that 15% of the owners want your office involved? And if you're appointed, is there still a role for the condominium attorney on the night of the election? You know, what's your thoughts on that?
That's a good question, Eric. I do get resistance from boards and management companies all the time. Once I receive a petition and a letter from the ombudsman's office appointing me as the election monitor, I typically phone that association to introduce myself and let them know what documents I'm going to need from them. More often than not, they refuse to take my call and they refuse to call me back.
Hmm.
In regards to the second part of your question, yes, absolutely. I do believe there's a role to be played by the association's attorney at the election. As I proceed through the election process, I like to include the attorney, review all my findings and decisions with him or her. I think it's important for the attorney to be there. I also think the association feels a lot better knowing that you're there, too.
Yeah, and I can tell you, we've done elections before, and a questionable ballot comes up on whether or not something should be counted. Many times you'd look, hey, what's your legal opinion on this? And I absolutely believe there still is a role for the condo attorney there that night, and there's no reason why the two parties can't get along, absolutely. But let's say you're appointed to administer the election, and all of the envelopes are turned over to you on the night of the annual meeting. Really, what are you looking for to make sure that you conduct the election, you know, as close to perfect as possible? What type of problems with the envelopes or the ballots would automatically cause you to reject that vote?
Well, first, I would be checking to make sure that all the ballot envelopes have been placed in outer, all the ballot envelopes are placed in outer envelopes, and that all the outer envelopes have been sealed and signed by the unit owner or the designated voter according to the voter certificate. I'll be checking to see that none of the envelopes have been tampered with and that no unit owner voted more than once.
I've seen you disregard ballots, as a matter of fact, where it was obvious somebody tore it open and then tried to scotch tape it back up.
I see that all the time.
Yeah, and did a real bad job.
I see that all the time.
Yeah, and that's something I know that you disregard all the time.
I'll also be checking all the voter certificates for all corporate-owned units or units owned by multiple persons, and if the docs call for it, any trusts or estates to make sure that the designated voter is the one who voted for that unit. I often find that someone else's name is on there altogether and they just don't match.
Right.
Once the envelopes are open, I'll be checking each ballot to make sure that no unit owner placed more than two ballots in any one envelope, and that the voting Once the envelopes are open, I'll be checking to make sure no unit owner placed two ballots in the envelope and that no overvoting has occurred on any of the ballots. Those are the types of things I'd be looking for.
So one vote's fine, two votes probably a problem.
You know, I see sometimes they'll put three checks on one line for one person.
They really like
they can
that
vote
person,
for that.
Apparently. Yeah, I understand. All right, if 15% of the unit owners sign that petition requesting an election monitor, I assume there's obviously got to be a cost associated with your office monitoring the elections. Two questions. Who pays for the cost of the election monitor, and generally, what does that cost?
The association's responsible for paying for the cost of the election monitor. My fee is $2 per unit plus $150 administrative fee. If the condominium has less than 99 units, I charge a flat rate of $300.
Okay. It's not too expensive at all, but let me ask you a real tough question for you to answer. You know, we spoke about the fact that we have a bill pending, Senate Bill 596, that would allow the Office of the Condominium Ombudsman to be expanded to now include jurisdiction and assistance with HOAs. And do you know that owners who live in HOAs, do they have the same types of complaints about their election like condominium owners do? And again, like I said, a reason I ask is at least at this moment, owners in an HOA, they don't have a right to ask for an election monitor. Only condo owners do. What's your take? Would you like to see the concept expanded so that HOA owners can get some help and assistance with this as well?
I know that owners who live in HOAs do have the same complaints. I get calls all the time from HOAs asking if I'll come and conduct their elections. I'd like to see the election process change, as a matter of fact, where HOAs are concerned. I'd like to see HOA elections conducted in the same fashion as condo elections, with no proxy voting or nominations from the floor.
Yeah,
it's much cleaner.
Of course. It's an outdated, archaic, crazy system, quite frankly, and a condo situation is much cleaner. So I just want to be clear about something. An HOA owner picks up the phone and says, hey, we understand that you can go come to a condominium election if 15% of the people sign a petition. I'm calling from an HOA. I want to have that petition going. I want your office to come and help in our HOA election. And what do you have to tell them?
Well, I generally turn down the HOA election, but I just accepted my first one.
Right. So if the unit owners want to come in, or if the association voluntarily agrees, I guess it's something that they will allow you to do.
Well, it's up to me, really. I have my own company.
Right.
So it's up to me.
But there's no specific jurisdiction over the ombudsman's office over HOAs.
No, the ombudsman's office wouldn't even entertain it.
Right.
They would maybe give them my number and say call her
and
directly
call her for
and
help.
See if she's interested.
Gotcha. Okay. Please know, Nan, I really thank you sincerely for taking time out on a Sunday to speak with our listeners, and I see there's a bunch of them actually on hold that want to talk to you. I'm going to just ask you to stick around and maybe answer some calls with us. As a matter of fact, how about we go to Val in Pompano Beach? How are you, Val?
Hi, Rick. Hi, Nan.
How are you?
Hi, Val.
Pretty good. First, I want to thank you for all that you folks have done with getting some sponsors for comprehensive HOA legislation.
Thank you very much.
We finally found some sponsors who realize HOAs need to be regulated.
No two ways about it. I'm glad you think the same way.
Yeah, this legislation would go a long way to improve the quality of life for us who live in HOAs.
I hope so. That's what we're trying to accomplish, Val. Much appreciated.
Yeah. Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I have to say I trained Nan as an election monitor. Nan began conducting elections with me back in 2005. She's been at it since, and she does it well.
I know she does.
I'm going to give you a secret about her. I recall one election she conducted the day after a hurricane. When she arrived at the facility, there was no power, total darkness. Using flashlights, Nan conducted the election in a parking lot on the hood of a car.
That's true.
That election had more light on it than many HOA elections held today with all the lights on in the room.
That's great. I'm not going to do better than that line,
Val.
So we're going to end on that. That's great.
Well,
but again,
I'll tell you, Rick, Eric, you know, the goal is always to have qualified voters vote and have their votes counted and have candidates treated fairly. And I think this program that Nan is involved in always does that.
Yes.
I think if you talk to any DPPR compliance officer involved in HOA election dispute arbitration, they'll tell you there are as many HOA protocols as there are associations in Florida.
Right.
That's a real problem.
Well, the statute, the HOA statute says, you know how you conduct your election in an HOA? Just take a look.
Yeah.
Whatever your governing document says. You know, basically, that's
right.
It's horrible. It's a really bad system.
Right.
And HOA owners should simply get the same type of relief
exactly.
and supervision that condo owners do. You know, what's funny about this piece of legislation that we have pending, quite frankly, this is actually telling the legislators, hey, ladies and gentlemen, you did a great job in the past. We're simply mm-hmm. with condos. We're simply asking you to take what you've done well, what you've placed in the condominium statute that actually works, and simply mirror it. Bring it over to the HOA
don't ignore
side.
The rest of your clients.
On the contrary, this is a compliment to the legislature. This is telling
that's
them
right.
you did a great job when it comes to condominiums. Now, please do the same great job for HOA. Okay, on that note, how about we go to Bill in Port Charlotte. Who are you, Bill?
Hi, Counselor.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. What about you? My question is, how would the Ombudsman Office handle voting, whether that's election voting or other types of voting, the problem of having the board of management controlling the outgoing envelope, returning envelopes, ballots, proxies, and other voting material?
Well, I guess Nan...
And incidentally, they refuse to show the documents for inspection.
Again, let's talk, and again, Nan Green is going to help us answer this question. But the way it's done right now, at least the way my reading of the statute is, there's nothing under the statute, even if the unit owners ask, if 15% of them get together and ask for the Ombudsman's Office involvement, the bottom line is the involvement at least starts to me on the night of the annual meeting. So that's something that you deal with all the time, Nan, verifying signatures, verifying authenticity on the night of the election to make sure the management company and or the people who sent out the election materials sent it to the right people and the right people signed them.
Well, as soon as I received the letter from the Ombudsman's Office appointing me as the election monitor, I get in touch with the association, and they send me copies of the first and second notice, a copy of the ballot envelopes, and I have copies of everything. And I have to go on the principle that I believe that they're doing the right thing and
right.
that everyone is receiving a ballot. But anyone who doesn't, they still have the right to come to the election and vote at the election.
Okay, but Bill raises a good point. Suppose, for example, your office is asked to get involved. You serve with the 15% petition, and it's obvious that the manager blew the deadline. They sent out totally wrong, incorrect notices. The ballots aren't in alphabetical order, or they did everything wrong. Is your office going to say, wait a minute, before we have an annual election, we need to make sure this is done over and done right?
Well, 2 weeks, 14 days before the election, the second notice has to go out.
Right.
And 14 days before the election, I get in touch with that association and I receive a copy of everything that they sent out to the association. The first thing I do is look through all those materials. If the ballot is out of order, I immediately get in touch with the Ombudsman's Office and I fax them over a copy of the ballot and I let them know. I tell them all of the problems that I find, and it's up to them to determine whether a ballot will or will not be invalid.
Okay,
an election will be invalid.
Okay, so Bill, it's obviously, it's not certainly not from what I'm hearing, certainly not a rubber stamp of the election procedures that were used before the Ombudsman's Office gets in. Certainly when the Ombudsman's Office does get in, they're looking to see whether or not the procedures up to that point were done correctly or incorrectly. And I hope that answers your question. Again, running out of time. How about we go to Hector in Brickell Key. How are you, Hector?
Eric, first of all, I want to thank Nan Green and yourself for the great job. Actually, Nan has done a great job in our building as well. My real question is, what can unit owner, what remedies does a unit owner have when you catch the association, the management company, as well as the professionals who are sort of licensed with their hand in the cookie jar in reference to tampering with election funds? What really are the remedies?
Okay,
thank you.
A couple of things. No, thank you, Hector. Thank you. A couple of things. Number one, from a legal perspective, needless to say, if something goes wrong with an election and a unit owner can show that there was some sort of irregularity or even fraud, Needless to say, you can always file an arbitration for a petition for arbitration after the election is over, although there's now some pending legislation that would attempt to limit a person's right to file that arbitration petition if not done within 60 days of the annual election. Problem with that statute, as I see it, is that oftentimes the owner doesn't even get access to those records, the election records, within 60 days. So it would be fair to have a 60-day drop-dead time limit if the owner's still fighting on day 58 to get access to those records. That's number one. So the answer to your question is you can file an arbitration petition and then wind up going to court. Number two, you can always file a complaint against that CAM's license. That's something that can certainly be done, but it looks like we are being told that time is about up. Great show today. Nan,
yes,
thank you so much for joining us today. Much appreciate your time on a Sunday.
Thank you, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another week of Condo Craze and HOAs. See you again, same time next week.